Our scriptures told us to love your neighbor like the Samaritan did for the man who fell among the robbers, and to love God like Mary was doing, sitting and listening at the feet of Jesus. Okay, but how? How can we engage in daring acts of compassion like the Samaritan did? How can we figure out what is the better part like Mary did? I promise you we'd talk about that this week. So how can we get going and keep going with God through all the ups and downs, all the turbulence and transitions that our lives really hold? The answer that Luke gives us can be summed up in one word: pray. Really pray with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. That's what Jesus did. But that's easy for God's son. But what about us? How can we do that? It's hard for us. We don't really know how. Well, lucky for us, one day, a disciple saw Jesus praying in a certain place and was moved to seize the moment. And he straight up asked him, "How do you do that? Teach us, Jesus." So now let's listen to God's holy word as it is written in Luke, where Jesus responds to this request with an impromptu lesson on prayer. You might call it prayer for dummies. As I read this scripture out loud, listen for its three parts. You'll hear a prayer, a parable, and a promise. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your father asks, who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be attuned to thy spirit, as your steadfast love reaches into the hidden corners of our hearts. Amen. Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. assigned Joyce. This is a prayer from the little book you may have seen titled Children's Letters to God. Here are a few more. Dear Mr. God, I wish you would not make it so easy for people to come apart. I had 3 stitches and a shot. Janet. Dear God, I wish there wasn't no such thing of sin. I wish there was not no such thing of war. Tim. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother, Larry. Just 2 more. Dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I get big, but not with so much hair all over. Sam. And finally this one. Dear God, I didn't think orange went with purple until I saw the sunset you made on Tuesday. That was cool. Eugene. Did you ever notice how children seem to pray more easily than grown-ups? Children are able to ask big questions, to register complaint and disappointment, to thank God, and even to present solutions to God. Children don't worry if they are doing it right or what God will think. And here's a surprising truth. We can learn a lot about prayer from children. If we take a good look at Jesus' teaching on prayer, it appears he thinks so too. At the beginning and at the end of our scripture lesson we just heard, Jesus places us in the role of child when talking about scripture, about prayer. Let me explain. The biggest shocker in this passage comes in the first word of the prayer. Rabbi Jesus instructs his disciples to begin a prayer with the word Father. Jesus is telling them to address God Almighty, the creator of the universe, as Father. For his disciples, the idea of Father as a metaphor for God was not new. We find it throughout the Hebrew scriptures. Like in Psalm 103:13, you see, as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. We also find metaphoric mother language for God several places in the Old Testament, like in Isaiah 66:13, where it is written, as a mother comforts her children, so I will comfort you. So it wasn't the parental image of God that would have shocked his disciples. It was the instruction to speak to God, to pray to God in such a personal, intimate way that would have rocked them to their core. You may recall that faithful Jews in Jesus' time did not even utter the divine name Yahweh out loud. This was how they had been taught to honor God's holiness, God's mystical otherness. And then Jesus tells them to pray to God starting with the word Father. That was as shocking as Jesus holding up a despised Samaritan as a model of loving neighbor, or as holding up Mary's decision to assume the traditional posture of a male disciple at the feet of Jesus rather than in the kitchen as the better part for Mary. In today's passage, Jesus is clearly instructing his Jewish disciples to address God as Father when praying. Jesus prays to God with the word Abba when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane facing his crucifixion. And Abba was probably one of the first words Jesus ever spoke. It is Aramaic for Dada. So what does this mean for us? In this one word, Jesus is inviting us into an intimate relationship with God. As Richard Foster wrote in his book titled Prayer, we are encouraged to crawl into the Father's lap and receive his love and comfort and healing and strength. We can laugh and we can weep freely and openly. We can be hugged and find comfort in his arms. And we can worship deep within our spirit. Regardless of what kind of human father you were born to, the divine father provides safety, security, healing, and strength for all of us. And here's a surprising turn. It is from this posture of childlike security that we can find the gutsy courage to be changed. For this is what prayer can do. It can shift our perspective and open up a new way of seeing ourselves and the world. Prayer decenters us. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promises in verse 13, where he takes this classic rabbinic argument saying, if then, so much more then. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give what? Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Did you know that the Latin word for anxiety, angustia, literally means narrowness? When was the last time you asked God simply for the Holy Spirit to widen your lens? Or when was the last time you asked Christ to soften some hardness of your heart that you've been harboring, maybe for a very long time, toward a person or a group of people? The gift of the Holy Spirit can widen our perspective and help us somehow access compassion that we could not find otherwise. So Jesus helps us by teaching us that it begins with addressing God as Father, Parent, Dada, Mama. And then what happens? Here is what Henry Nouwen, a Catholic priest and author and a very formative spiritual mentor for me ever since I was in college. When you hear this, I think you'll see why. This is something he wrote from his Genesee diary. When I really bring my friends and the many I pray for into my innermost being and feel their pains, their struggles, their cries in my own soul, then I leave myself, so to speak, and become them. Then I have compassion. Compassion lies at the heart of our prayer for our fellow human beings. When I pray for the world, I become the world. When I pray for the endless needs of the millions, my soul expands and wants to embrace them all and bring them into the presence of God. But in the midst of that experience, I realize that compassion is not mine, but God's gift to me. So how can we embrace the complexity of nuclear disarmament on the Korean Peninsula, or the seeming impossibility of a just peace in the Middle East? How can we embrace the plight of refugees fleeing from certain death at home to the possibility of a better life anywhere else? How can we hope for true healing for the victims and the victimizers being brought to light through the Me Too movement? How can we expand our vision from self to other as a nation in order to be the Samaritan and obey the commandments to love our neighbor, regardless of where they are from, as ourselves? If we pray with all our heart, only that first verse of Jesus' model prayer, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. See, it's not my kingdom, your kingdom come. God can free us to leave ourselves and make that shift from self to God. God's realm, God's kingdom of love and justice. That shift from self to others. We can do that as individuals, as a faith community, as a nation, starting with that shift through prayer. So are you thinking that sounds great? But I don't think I could ever pray that way. I will close with advice from a dear friend of Bob's and mine. He and Bob washed dishes together as undergraduates in college. I can tell you that it was only because of his encouragement and advice that Bob and I began are many years, up to the present time, of cross-country bicycle touring, an activity that has become a major part of our lives and our children's, from that point of that conversation to the present day. You see, he had just completed a solo ride on his bicycle across the country, coast to coast. And instead of bragging or making it seem impossible, he kept saying over and over, well, you two can do this. You don't need fancy bikes. The bikes you have are fine. They're good enough. You don't need fancy sleeping bags. Those will work. And you don't need to be some kind of elite athlete. You're ready right now. Sure, you can ride your bike 68 to 80 miles a day over the Rocky Mountains. Yeah, right. He didn't mention about the butt soreness. But anyway, basically, here's the advice. All you have to do is get on the bike and keep pedaling. That's all there is to it. So moving from great advice to a wonderful poem, Mary Oliver says it this way on the cover of your bulletin. Praying, it doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention, then patch. A few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. So friends, pray with all your heart to change and open your mind and strengthen your soul. This is something you are ready to do right now. Just get on the bike and keep pedaling. Open your heart and keep praying and see what God can do. Amen.